All right, we are now joined by...
Wow.
Sorry about that.
We broke the stage.
That was me. We are now joined by our poll winner. We're just going to pretend like that didn't happen. Shh. Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Now I can't speak either. So
the good stuff, the Pennzoil.
So we'll leave the speaking to you. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about starting up front this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, obviously, it was a great lap. Car was honestly great from when we unloaded. I was laughing when I came in. I said, good adjustments today, and it was a joke because we didn't change anything from when we unloaded. The car was driving pretty good the first lap on the racetrack, partly because we did the tire test here, or not the tire, just a regular test. But I think that definitely helped us, which is great. Starting up front is always important, especially in the playoffs, and when it's a cutoff race, I know we have a decent cushion, but all that can change really quick. So having some track position definitely helps that, and hopefully we can keep that track position and be there at the end to try to get the third win here. That would be something real special. So looking forward to it. Definitely got a good car in qualifying trim, at least. We'll know a lot more tomorrow, but it feels good. It's been a while since we got a pole, so that felt real nice.
Absolutely.
Plus, they give you a little pedal car. That's kind of cool.
That is awesome.
And the good thing is now I have a little man to drive it. So that part's kind of neat. He's going to wake up to a shiny new toy.
We're going to start with Jerry, and then we'll go over to Reed, and we'll come right up front right here.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net and PRN. That's my first question, was the pedal car and little man. So how long do you think it'll be before he can be wheeling that thing around?
Honestly, right now, he just loves going on the golf cart. That's like his routine. We wake up, and it's usually around 6, and we wait until the sun comes out now, because the sun comes up later, and the first thing we do is get on the golf cart, and he is angry until we get on it. That's like his thing. I don't know. That's the nightly routine, too, is bath, golf cart, ride, bed. That's kind of how that works. So maybe we'll graduate the pedal car here soon. He definitely, everything he gets, he grabs a little steering wheel, and he goes like, this is hilarious, but... I don't know. I'll let you know tomorrow when he wakes up. I'm going to put him in this thing.
And follow up, for a weekend where you basically have to just survive and not get in any trouble, you go out there and you put it on the pole and you're super fast. I mean, obviously you always want to win, but is what your intention is to play it safe this weekend? Or are you going all out?
I have one gear. I mean, I'm not much of a play it safe guy. I'm not good at it, for one. I'd say the last race we played it safe was the Roval, and I think that was just kind of like we had to, and there's so many variables there that we had to kind of play that race safe to make sure we got through to the next round to keep our championship hopes alive. So, this race, I wouldn't say it's a wild card. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We've raced here a lot, so we kind of know how the race is going to play out. So, plan is to race hard like we typically do. Got a good car, obviously. A car that's got a lot of speed. So, it's a normal race for us. It's a cutoff race. Yeah, there's points involved. And yes, we got to keep up with that. But it's still just a race. Anytime you line up for these things, it's another race. And the goal is the same, whether you're in the cutoff or not. The goal is to win.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Did it surprise you at all that you ran the fastest lap of the day with 2 rounds on the tires, and might that be an indication that tire strategy might be viable on Sunday?
Not surprising for multiple reasons. The sun was going down, getting colder as we went. I said colder because it's already cold when we started, but it definitely seems like as the sun goes down, the track picks up grip. It had so much grip today from lap one. Blaney and I were laughing about it. It's like, oh my gosh, we're going so fast. When that sun's not out and practice was overcast, and I just feel like in qualifying trim, you're just booking along so fast. So it makes it a lot of fun. It's definitely one of those racetracks that the more you go for it, the bigger the reward is. But also the penalty is pretty big. We've seen that for a couple cars too today, that you get a little bit outside of it, and you're going for a ride, it's hard to regain control. So it's definitely one of those places that the more risk you take, the faster you go, but it's also more risk. So but it's a fun place. I enjoy that's really cool. And when the race starts, there'll be some tire fall off for sure. This place is definitely worn into a really good racetrack, you know, with one that you can run the top as fast as you run the middle or the bottom for that case. So it puts on a good race, and that's probably what makes this one of the best repaves we've had, is the fact that when they've redesigned the racetrack, when they repaved it to make the top really come in, I think they did a good job with that.
All right, go right up here.
Dominic Cutter, going with the racing experts, a couple questions. First, based on the progressions through qualifying, talk about how confident were you were that you and your team could sit on the pole today?
How happy?
Or how confident you guys were that you could win the pole?
Oh, how confident?
Yeah.
Well, we're really happy, for one, but confidence, you know, I think, you know, in practice, we had good speed. Like I said, we were close, and through the first couple rounds, you know, we were a few hundredths off, so you're like, all right, you know, we're not that far off, we're okay, and, you know, then... You know, the last round, made a couple adjustments, a little tight the second round, just freed it up a little bit, and went a little harder from behind the wheel, went for a little bit more, kind of a all-or-nothing type of lap, and it worked out.
And lastly, first pole of the year, get your thoughts on tying Neil Bonnet and Benny Parsons with 20 career poles.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that. Great stat. Anytime you can pull up those names and be equal to in as far as the stats, that's incredible. That's really cool. I did not know that. You know, those names have been around in our sport for, you know, forever pretty much, and definitely an honor to be close to that, or with them on it. They've done a lot more for our sport at this point than I have, so I don't feel like I'm quite as an equal to them, but definitely need to get that stat.
We're going to go to Lee, and then Alan, and then over to Dustin.
Hey, Spencer, racingboys.com. I'm surprised you didn't see you had your foot on the gas pipe to get the pole.
Yeah, but we were scooting along pretty good, weren't we?
Yeah, but you didn't win a scooter, you won a pedal car. But anyway.
You were listening this morning.
I was. How much can you help Kessel? I mean, obviously, it's every man for himself, but, you know, what? How are you going to share information, you know, whatever, with Keselowski and Blaney? Because they have a harder road to hoe to get into the final eight.
I don't think there's any difference than any other week. You know, we share information every week. It's not like it, oh, gosh, they need to win. Everything we do for them is that. No, it's we do that every week. You know, it's an open notebook. It's, you know, we run our practices, and then we sit down and we say, okay, here's what my car is doing. Here's what your car is doing. And the crew chiefs say, here's what we did for changes, and here's what we did for changes. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to compare a little bit because, you know, if you have three or four different things different in your car and then you make a change on top of that, a lot of things offset each other, right? Every action has a reaction on the grease car. So it gets very finicky, you know, so sometimes it's hard to really measure if it's better on one car, will it be better on your car or the other car? You know, but I think overall it's an open notebook. So if anyone needs to go to exactly what's in each other's car, we can do that. And I'd expect most teams probably run their teams the same way these days, I would assume. You know, it's something that I think we strive and work really hard to get to that point. It's something that I don't think is very easy. There's a lot of details that have to be put in the right way, but I think we do a good job at it. Yep, thank you.
Sorry, I had a very similar question. Isn't there ever a moment, though, you want to be selfish as a driver or as a team where you want to hold back just a little? Because, I mean, I think of Blaney and Keselowski. There's probably only room for one of them on Sunday, maybe. Isn't there ever a moment you want to be selfish with your information?
I think if you have that attitude, you're not going to be in a position to ever win anyway, in my opinion. There is times that, you know, you're going to be have an open book and you're going to get beat by it. And that, you know, sometimes it's tough to swallow, but at some point, the shoe's on the other foot, and you're going to need help. And if you were that jerk at the time that said, no, I'm not giving you what I got, you know, then eventually the roles will be reversed. At one point, you're going to be off, and your teammate's going to be fast, and they're going to say, no, remember that one time? So, you know, I think you have to, you know, definitely, you know, think big picture in these moments. And it's easy to just stare at the hood pins and not look further down the road, but, you know, I think it's important for us to be teammates in all situations, whether it's super speedway racing or here or, or setups or whatever it is, we need to be smart with each other. And I think that's paid dividends off in the past.
Go to Dustin and then up to Bob.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Joey, obviously with this sport, has got one of the longer postseasons of most professional sports. You've made it to Miami three times since 2014, so you've kind of understood or gone through this path. But I'm just kind of curious, since right now that this is only the halfway point of these playoffs, how over the years have you kind of learned to kind of go with the ebb and flow of the playoffs, to not get burned out? Are there things that you look back on your first year in this format and you're like, I got to change how I did, that helped you in other years, and where you feel like you are at this point, and with the pressure, the stress, and the ups and downs?
Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs. You're right. It is a long 10 weeks, for sure. You know, but I think you have to just be able to shut it off when you go home. And that's kind of at least my model is, you know, I work hard during the day and prepare and do everything I possibly can to make sure we show up to the racetrack and I'm ready and hopefully our race team is you know, we do that together and hopefully we're all ready when we get to the racetrack. But when I get home at night, I'm done. You know, I can shut it off. I can hang out with Brittany and Hudson and, you know, turn on a TV show or something like that, or hang out and give a little man a golf cart ride, apparently, as of late. And I can do that. I have a light switch that I can just turn it on and off. So I try to do that. You know, and I think early in my career, it was all I had was racing, and that's all I ever thought about. And I guess I wasn't as deep at the time. I was just a racer. I think now I've realized that life is more than just racing, and I think that helps me. Oh, what we're watching these days? What are we watching these days? We watch Ballers. I like Ballers. Watch This Is Us, but I call it That's Them, because This Is Us and that's Them is what I call it. We watched The Fosters here lately too. We've been kind of into that as well. So that's kind of that's at least after Hudson goes to sleep and we're exhausted, and we turn on a show and usually fall asleep watching it, or I usually do.
So This Is Us, is that emotionally, is it
that
some people?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm an emotional guy. I run the highs and the lows, so.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with Bob.
We're wrapping it up after that one.
On that note.
Oh, Bob's got one, okay.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. I actually have two. The first is, do you have to worry about the guys who need wins doing crazy strategy, or is this a place where you've got to take four tires and strategy really won't come into play?
I think strategy will come into play. It's typically a four-tire place, but it's somewhere that, you know, tires do wear out, but they don't wear out as aggressively as other racetracks and some other, you know, more wore-out racetracks. So, you know, that being said, it's important to understand where your competitors are. I just dropped my seat there. That was funny. It's important to know, you know, if someone has to win, or if they're, you know, playing the conservative card and they just got to get through. It's important for myself to know that. It's important for Todd to know that as far as the way he calls the race. You know, it's easy to say just run your race. But in these situations, you have to be smart to know where everyone else is, because that may change some of your decisions in your race.
And I also wanted to ask you about Casey Kane, in the sense of, you know, he's had to retire. I mean, he's going to retire, but he had to retire a little bit early for the dehydration issue, which he really doesn't know the cause. And I'm curious at all, you know, I assume you plan to be racing for many more years. Does that concern you at all, that you don't know what is happening to a fellow competitor, and any concern like, gosh, how do I prevent this from happening to me?
I think any time you hear a race car driver go through something, you want to learn about it as much as you can, because it can you know, be something that is tied to something that's going on in a race car, where the heat that we face every week inside a race car definitely takes a toll on your body. It has to. You know, I feel like we trained for it. I feel like Casey was probably one of the drivers that was in shape more than others, probably more than me even. You know, so I don't know the details. I don't know what has happened or anything more than that. It stinks to hear that's forced him into, you know, an early retirement. He had a great career, you know, and we'll miss him around here for sure. But, you know, yeah, it's important for us all to understand what it is. But, you know, at the same time, that's why we prepare, because you never know what's going to happen, right, in our life. And in a race car, you know, we're just walking across the street. You can get hit by a car, and all this is over, you know. So it's important to, once again, look past the hood pins in life and make sure you're prepared for the worst and then hope for the best.
All right. Well, congratulations on starting on the pole, and good luck on Sunday.